Hey, beautiful humans. Welcome to Sex, Love, and Everything in Between.
You're here with Jacob and my wife, Meg.
And this is the place where we have all the very, very real, raw, and extremely unfiltered conversations about sex, love, and everything in between.
Oh, yeah. It's here you get a behind-the-scenes look into our relationship. And we will not be holding back, will we, my love?
No, we don't know how to do that.
Not at all.
So, beautiful ones, thank you for being here. Enjoy this episode.
Hey, lover.
Hi, hi.
How you doing?
I am feeling great today.
That's what I like to hear.
Hi, everybody.
What up, lovers, lovers?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
To you.
Yes.
We had 2 weeks without you.
Yeah, you guys have been hanging out without me. I've felt a little left out.
How much did you miss Jacob?
Please shower me with validation. Saying
should it just be my podcast now?
Pick a side. No, it's good to be back, my love. You've had a couple of awesome episodes with Eleanor and everyone's been loving those.
Those episodes went off. If you're listening and you haven't listened to either of those episodes, just pause this one. Go back. They're really fucking good.
Yeah.
I can guarantee those are good. I don't know where this one's going.
I think
they're about, there's a blowjob 101 and then there's licking pussy 101. So
dive
in. Lots of practical tips await you.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really fun when you're met, like what I saw, like we've been talking about episode season 2, which is coming up shortly, right? We're talking about having guests on, more and more guests.
I'm so excited.
And one of our parameters for having guests on is like, well, am I fucking excited to speak to these people? Like, do these people like excite me?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter, like for me, it doesn't matter how good you are at what you do or what accolades or achievements you've had. But if I'm excited to speak to you, if I feel a vibe, then that's the parameter for how I'm going to be choosing to like bring people on. I want people that have that energy that want to like jam and vibe and bring something to the space.
Yeah. We're never going to have someone on just because they have 100,000 followers and like,
we're not sellouts.
But truly I need to be able to like sit in front of someone and be, you know how curious I am.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm having a conversation with someone, I want to be genuinely curious. I want to be so excited and inspired by what they stand for. So we have a big list. We're actually doing a really epic podcast interview tomorrow with another couple. So
yes, yes. I think
that'll be on the podcast next week. I'm so fucking excited for that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a whole lot of other guests. Django.
Django, you are not a guest.
Django's
mate.
In the podcast room right now and is no.
All right. This is training for, we're going to talk a little bit about parenthood and how this little dog is teaching me so much.
He usually just lies down and chill. I think it's because we haven't been on a walk today yet. Anyway, guys, he nearly bit the cord and we would have dropped out. So
yeah, he nearly chewed the audio cord. Surprise, surprise, Django. We love you.
We love you. I cannot understand. Like I liked dogs, but I've never owned a dog.
Yeah.
So I used to find it strange, not strange, but I didn't really fully get when people have a dog, how much you love a fucking dog. And now I'm like, what is it going to feel like to love a child that you and I both created? Like
yeah.
That's going to be wild. I just love watching him sleep or in the car, like turning behind and just constantly watching him when we drive places and just watching him adventure. That's my favorite thing. Like watching him learn new skills.
Like this one right here.
Yeah, he's playing with a bottle. This is now just an episode devoted to our dog.
I'm going to tell you how good our dog is.
But no, I get so excited and just like am so bursting with love and just like awe. And I'm like, what the fuck is going to, like having a child going to feel like? That's going to be out of this fucking world.
Ain't it so?
Out of this fucking world.
Mm. Yeah, it terrifies me. Like that thinking about, yeah, that level feeling of like, holy shit, is my heart going to like explode out of my chest? Probably.
And then the vulnerability that also comes with, and I think we can even bring this back into, do we need to actually have him leave the space?
We're going to actually get him to leave the space. So if you keep talking, my love, we're going to do it.
Django is no longer, he usually just lies down under our chairs, but he's being a bit of a menace right now and is wanting to chew cords and do things. So I think if we bring this into like the context of relationships too, it's like very risky and vulnerable to love someone. And I think it's the same whether we have a dog or a child. Like when we expand our capacity to love, we're also signing up to expand our potential capacity to feel deep pain.
Mm-hmm.
With loss, with death, with breakups, with all of it.
Yeah.
And again, I can't imagine, like we've been talking about the dog, that, you know, he will most likely have a smaller lifespan than us.
Yeah.
And there will one day be a time where he's no longer walking this earth when we are. And
he's going to die.
He's going to die.
That's just straight up. He's no longer walking. There's going to be a point where we have to say, see ya forever. And it's going to be fucking tragic. Mm.
Yeah. And I think it's the same. Well, hopefully we our children outlive us. But that same, like, I was actually thinking of this yesterday. We took a bit of mushroom. It was your birthday. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we took a little bit of mushrooms, which I journeyed deep on.
For the amount that you took, you did well.
It was, do you mean it was like a small, yeah.
It wasn't a big dose. Yeah.
Yeah. But we were at these beautiful rock pools for Jacob's birthday and there was no one there and it was so stunning. And I was like half naked and we took a little bit of mushrooms and we're just really enjoying ourselves and just with Django. Then within 5 minutes, 20 other people rocked up.
Yeah.
And it was just as the mushrooms were really hitting. So you reminded me later that I feel very deeply. So I just began to feel really anxious and really, I was just like feeling really exposed and I was feeling a lot. Mm. And this kid got rushed down this little waterfall and I was really close to it and he wouldn't have died, but he was like screaming. It was like a 3-year-old and his dad had to chase him down these rapids. It was really intense and I'm on mushrooms and it was just a lot.
Mm.
So I started to feel a lot, but then we ended up moving deeper into the rock pools and the waterfalls and we were alone again. But yeah, I was going through my deep process and something that came out of that was like this remembering, and this is like how I fucking live and what I teach. But if we want a beautiful life or our ability or our capacity to experience beauty is directly proportionate to our capacity to feel or willingness to feel.
Mm.
Yeah. And we cannot like, you know, if we want to experience more love or more joy or more beauty or whatever it is, or more ecstasy or more, you know, pleasure, we can't just sign up for that end of the spectrum. We're actually just signing up to being more sensitive and attuned to the full spectrum of our human emotions.
Mm.
And I think that's a huge thing that psychedelics and plant medicine teach me. It's like, look at your capacity to feel, and when you willingly go deep into the shadow, into the dark, that like liberates a huge amount of ecstasy, a huge amount of what we would say is like desirable emotions.
Mm.
They're one and the fucking same. We can't just sign up for one.
Totally. I agree.
And I got all the way there from talking about how much I love my dog.
Yes. I think feeling is the key for so many people in this modern world. Like most of the stuff that I talk to men about is them trying to understand something before they feel it.
Mm.
And they're like, oh, what's wrong with me? How do I do this? I'm like, what if you could just like let the feeling be here? What's the feeling? Can you allow it? And quite often it has to do with like not wanting to become a hot mess or not wanting to let go. Like letting go is such a... It is such a tormenting thing for the modern person, I believe. And what I witnessed in you was like, you almost like surrendering to this layer of grief that you hadn't yet felt.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, grief is like the ultimate liberator. It's an embodied letting go. It's an embodied surrender. To actually expose yourself to the feeling of grief is to truly let go.
Oof.
Mm.
And I believe when we give ourselves over to grief, it is actually one of the most beautiful experiences we can possibly have as a human.
Mm.
Like that, they're one of my favorite experiences when I'm not resisting grief. That's where the suffering is. When we resist anything, there is suffering. But when we truly, like you said, surrender into it or let ourselves go into it, give ourselves over to it, we give ourselves over to the beauty of feeling, the beauty of letting life move through us.
I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Purungi, who's an incredible musician, and I heard this on another podcast he was speaking on, was he talks about how the veil between grief and joy is like paper thin. And when we access grief, it gives us access to like this depth of joy that is really unbridled. It's really something, it's not just happiness. It's like this insatiable joy, this thing that like comes from a, you know, a deep part of us that is, that really is infinite. And that for me is like, when we go through the portal of grief, when we go through the feelings that we haven't felt, it gives us access to something that doesn't, that we don't have to rely on our partner being happy. We don't have to rely on a certain amount of money in the bank account. We don't have to rely on whether we did well this month in our business or whether we won that football match on the weekend. All of these different things is, and none of that becomes the thing that determines my joy. My joy comes from within because I've been willing to go through what was in front, like in the road or in front of it or blocking it rather.
And I think, and I'd love to hear your perspective on this, but for me, plant medicine and psychedelics has been such a huge part of that embodied experience. I don't think it's the only way, and I don't actually think it's everyone's path to do plant medicine or psychedelics, no fucking way. But to have that embodied experience of being met with your grief, the grief that's been locked up in your body or whatever it is that's been locked up, and to come face to face with it, and on plant medicine or psychedelics, you must choose to feel that. The medicine doesn't do it for you. You must be an active participant. Or as one of our teachers says, you must meet the medicine halfway or like 50-50. But yeah, that experience of like feeling that, and then the liberation. Like the liberation of like, wow, I've met that grief and it felt so icky and sticky while I'm on plant medicine. And then there's like this point of liberation where suddenly I just feel such ecstasy and joy, and I've moved from wailing with snot everywhere on the ground, like crying, to suddenly just like dancing and circling my hips and laughing and just being in like the deepest state of ecstasy I've ever felt. And so for me, I think those experiences that, you know, I think I've almost been, I think my first plant medicine ceremony was almost 10 years ago now, which is wild. But I think that for me, that path has really given me that blueprint for what it is like to, how interconnected and like how much the veil is so paper thin, like you said.
100%. And whatever modality, like we've worked with the plants, like you said, for so many years, and the modality that you choose, it's the one that, like, it's the thing that won't actually back down. That's what I've noticed with plant medicine. It's like, it's not going to back away from the hard stuff. It's going to call you deeper into it. And then you have to choose to meet it there. Because, you know, I've spent hours in ceremony resisting only to like actually like go into it with the medicine, then have my, you know, my moment of release, and then accessing the liberation, being like, fuck, why did I just spend 6 hours rolling around fighting it? Yeah, it's taught me a lot around receiving. And one of the things that I always remind myself is like, can I find grace in letting go? Can I find the grace in letting go? Can I be graceful in this? Can I like let myself have like be graceful? Because normally it's a fucking dogfight for me in anything, because I'm really headstrong and I really struggle to receive. And that has been a massive, massive recurring theme in my life across all areas, is like, do I feel worthy of receiving this? And, you know, quite often the answer is no. And then I have to face off with what feeling is accompanying that belief. And that's where I've found like most of my liberation is like knowing that I am actually fucking worthy, knowing that I do have value to offer the world, knowing that I am able to receive in a way that has me living a life that is not only inspiring for myself, but inspiring for others, and allows me to do good work.
Would you say that's one of the biggest pieces that arises for you on plant medicine journeys, the unworthiness piece?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The unworthiness, and also I think that's coupled with, I'm scared of the responsibility. I'm scared to fuck it up. So I don't feel worthy, number one. Number two, if I fuck it up, people won't love me, so therefore I won't feel good enough. Then I'll go back into the unworthiness. So it's like it's this paradox. I always find myself at a paradox of like, well, you can stay where you are and you can manage this, you can be in control of your unworthiness, or you can believe you're worthy and then let life reflect back all of the areas where you don't believe that and meet them and break through them. So regardless of what you do, you're going to be at the mercy of some form of initiation.
Mm.
It just depends on whether or not you want to like go deeper or whether you want to just stay at the surface.
And what would you say the medicine, like in those moments? Because I feel like when you talk about the unworthiness, I feel like plant medicine often illuminates the shadow.
Mm.
And I think plant medicine also shows us the truth of like the interconnectedness of life and the for me, the one of the biggest learnings from medicine or the embodied experiences I have is like, I am God, I am goddess. Like I'm not separate from anything else. And that true, we can know that. You can read a fucking book and know that from the shoulders up, but to have a visceral embodied experience of that is a completely different thing. But I'm wondering what, like, so that shadow that gets illuminated of like, I'm not worthy, or I'm scared of that responsibility of fucking it up. What would you say then the medicine shows you? Does the medicine like then take you into like the truth or illuminate something else?
It shows me all of the times where I've judged myself or not loved myself in moments where I've essentially fallen short of what I believed I needed to do.
Mm.
So where I haven't done what I said I was going to do, or I haven't achieved what I thought I would, and I've judged myself, or I've been really harsh on myself rather than offering myself kind of compassion. And it's shown me all the times where, hey, like all these other people who you think have, you know, all these other people and things that you think are affecting you, it's actually you judging and being really harsh on yourself and telling yourself that you're stupid, that you fucking, you've got nothing. Why the fuck did you do that? Why is this? And all of that self-talk, all of that, almost like collapsing in on myself with all of this negativity and the negativity comes from an inability to feel the actual grief of my humanness, that I'm not fucking perfect, that I'm not in control. And when I go into that, it's just like tearing back layers of fucking, I liken it to being like just covered in fucking like caked up mud. And I'm literally just like trying to, and part of that is almost like I'm trying to rip it off before I actually like wet it. And it's like, I need to learn how to like breathe it through my body and like slowly like let it dissolve rather than trying to like just rip it off.
That's such a beautiful like visual.
Mm. And I imagine like the way that I see, you know, that I see myself working with the medicine in those moments is like, yeah, my heart's caked in this like these layers of unfelt emotions. And if I liken that to being like mud, it's like, can I actually let myself feel normally grief, which will be tears or water, and can the water like run down and actually soften the walls and actually let them just like slide off rather than me trying to like bang on my heart and rip these things off and trying to force my way into my own self-love?
Yeah, I think that's such a beautiful point, because I think so often in the embodiment space or plant medicine space, there can be this like real celebration around like cathartic experiences and experiences where there's like yelling and screaming and it's loud and it's, and I believe in that. I'm here for full expression. I've had a lot of powerful experiences in my own body with, you know, a cathartic style, you know, expression or embodiment. And then I've witnessed that and guided a lot of women through that. But I think there's a difference between that. There's such medicine in knowing that it doesn't have, that's not the only way to get to the place of love. And in fact, can we be gentle with ourselves? It doesn't always have to be this, like, let's get to the shadow and let's scream our way through and let's like force our way into, you know, remembering. It can be gentle and subtle and I also think sometimes people can get stuck in the plant medicine space because they're like hooked on that. They're hooked on that like,
oh, massively
big, like boom, like where I believe the work, like we were really deep in the plant medicine space for probably 3 or 4 years and doing many, many ceremonies in a year and traveling to Peru with our teacher. And you still are.
I love.
You're a regular.
Yeah.
But I haven't, you know, I like to do my own journeys at home with the mushrooms. But yeah, I feel like there's not an expiry date necessarily on that world, but I believe that there is many people, the journey should be then to move more into the subtleties of life as a practice.
And this
without
is
a reliance on.
Sorry, you go. Yeah.
I was just saying without a reliance on like, and you say this beautifully, it's like, you can't stay on the fucking mountain. You've got to go down the mountain into the
marketplace.
Into the marketplace. And it's like, if you were just, you're like going plant medicine after plant medicine ceremony, but then you still, you know, there's no shifts in your life or you're still having these like shitty relationships. You're not actually bringing any of that down into your day-to-day lives. If the medicine isn't improving your relationship with your family, the people around you, your work, any of it, or taking you into a different path or more enlivened path, like I would say something's up. And not necessarily that it should immediately do that, but yeah, I feel like you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, get off the fucking roller coaster.
Yeah.
That's it. Like this is matter of the fact of the matter is people go there and fucking escape.
Yeah.
And then they hide up on the mountaintop and they fucking wear their white linen pants and they fucking play their flutes and then they never come back down and fucking chop wood and carry water. They don't come down and have the conversation they need to have with their mother. They don't come down and like speak about their responsibilities that their father had and how, you know, one day they're going to have to step into being responsible for a family. And there's all these fucking floaty, uncommitted people, especially men fucking annoy me who do this, who float around in these fucking transient communities and they don't actually, and they talk about this new earth. But the truth is that change comes from within. So for you to change the system or to change society or to shift cultural values, you need to be within it. You need to change it from within. You can't sit on the sidelines and try to create this whole new earth on your little fucking community. That's not how it works. If you want to be a true medicine carrier, and this isn't about serving medicine, like this is my true belief, you carry the medicine in your heart, in your body, and you come down and you speak on behalf of the wisdom of the medicine that you've received. And, you know, for me, that's called becoming the medicine. Like, I don't need to take my parents to go and do ayahuasca. I can come down and I can open my heart and speak vulnerably because I've had my experience with the grandmother. I can straighten my spine because I've gone and sat with Wachuma, the cactus, and like stand in my power and speak on behalf of what I truly believe. I don't need to tell people to go and do that and have their own experience. I don't need to force them into the path that I've walked. And this is the truth of the any initiatory path, is that your initiation is your initiation. Part of the initiation is integration. And if you don't integrate it into your life where you can sit down at the table and have dinner with the people that raised you, or go back and show compassion to people that aren't yet where you're at in the area that you've exposed yourself to, then you've got some fucking work to do. And I see this, you know, I see this with people who go and do breath work nonstop and they're doing the big cathartic holotropic breath work. And don't get me wrong, I fucking adore breath work. It's been one of the things that I've led I've led hundreds of men through breath work, and I've done a lot of breath work myself. And some of the most deepest journeys that I've led men through are actually the most softest. It's like we've done the big cathartic stuff, boom, 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 and then I'll hit them with this soft, gentle, almost like this, bathe them in their own breath, and they like just cracks us open. It's like, this is actually teaching me to, you know, breathe every single day. Like life is breath work. It's not some fucking 3 rounds of 30 at, you know, high intensity. Breath work is life. You breathe every single fucking second. So for me, the work that you do on the mountain is only as good as the way that you integrate it back into your life.
Yes, 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 yes.
That wasn't the intention of this podcast for me to go on a bit of a rant, but
it's, I feel like this is it. This is really fucking powerful. I feel really, yeah, this feels right talking about this right now.
And one more thing. with like one of the things that, yeah, like you said, like the, you know, you work with the medicine, like that's a very much, you know, I forget, and I've probably forgotten the last couple of months. I've been like really in my head and really focused on how I can create all these things that I need for the future. But one thing that I've been reminded by many of my teachers is like, can you walk with the medicine? Can you walk with all of the ancestors, all of the guides, all of the beings that are in your corner wanting you to do the work that you're here doing? How often do you, you know, say hello to them? How often do you stop and ask for support from something that you don't fully understand? Because you know, if you keep consulting another book or another human, you're trying to access the divine through all these different ways. When in actual fact, you've got all that you need here. All you have to do is open yourself to something beyond what your mind can comprehend. And one of my teachers, he's so funny. He's like, we get to a mountain. He's like, okay, noble silence from now. But first, we actually introduce ourselves to the mountain. Hello, mountain. How are you today? We're coming to do some ceremony on you today. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Aho. And then we walk up the mountain. It's like, it's that fucking simple. It can be that simple. And it's all about having a relationship with something greater than yourself and trusting that and then bringing that back into your life where, you know, when you're washing the dishes, it can be a spiritual practice. When you're, you know, and this is, you know, I said that in the podcast about like stripping the copper with my dad, or whether it's a conversation with my mum on the phone and it's like, oh, you know, like my birthday, my mum rang me last night and and she's so excited about, she fucking loves birthdays. And I think part of me, like I still have a, I think there's a part of me that doesn't fully trust the feminine. I think that would be the truth for me. Like I'm just was sitting with that last night after we tried to record a podcast. And yeah, I think there's a part of me that doesn't fully trust the feminine and I'm scared of it. And that's okay. But I realized on the phone last night when my mum was talking to me, I was like, instead of just being like, yeah, thanks for the presence, I was like, hey, I really appreciate all the effort that you put in.
I heard you say
that. Yeah, like really it made me quite emotional, like actually thanking her for something that she loves to do. I was like, oh, I don't have to push her away. And my tendency when I'm receiving is to push people away or to downplay my magnificence or try to pretend like it's I don't need anything, when in actual fact I love receiving, and it's a big part of my life that I feel I'm going to work on this year and once again, bring a level of grace to it. But yeah, I remember like mum called me to see how my day was and I was like, thank you so much. And I really appreciate all the effort that you put in, you know, to the presence. And thank you so much for getting me exactly what I wanted. And thank you for always making an effort around these times of year. Like always you're always the one that, you know, believes in how special these moments are. And these are her ceremonies, you know, these are, and this is going to make me a bit emotional, but like for a mother, I think that a child's birthday is a ceremony because it reminds them of the initiation that they went through to bring you into this world.
And your mom had quite an initiation.
And like, I wasn't meant. I think I'm terrified right now of what becoming a parent means. Hey, and I see how much my mum loves me and how much I'm terrified of what that's going to do to me. I'm terrified of how codependent and attached and overbearing I'm going to become, and how I'm scared that I'm not going to be able to fucking sleep. I'm scared that I'm not going to be able to fucking function because I'm so in love with something that I can't fucking function. And that terrifies me. I'm scared. And there's been so much, I've judged my mum for so long around certain things. And my biggest, you know, I've had a huge journey with coming back to love after detaching from my mum and feeling angry and hating her and being filled with rage, to coming back to a place of love and understanding her a lot more. And I think like becoming a parent is going to really show me the parts of her that are within me. And, that terrifies me because, you know, she is a fierce woman and she loves fiercely. And she, like you said, with the spectrum, she's got a fiery, she can spit poison.
She can.
It was really beautiful last night to just, and I think I've done this really well with my dad over the last year or two, like really honoring him for the role that he's played and really deepening my connection with him. And yeah, I think last night, just like saying, hey, I appreciate the effort that you put in and thank you for holding it down at this, you know, not once have I ever felt, and I think too, like not once have I ever felt like I've always, my birthdays, like there's never been one where I haven't got a present. Mm. Like, I've never, you know, and maybe I feel guilty for that because I, you know, I see other, I've had friends who weren't as well off, you know, we weren't rich or anything, but I remember feeling terrible one Christmas because I got this bike and one of my friends, you know, got this really shitty toy and I was like riding around this brand new bike. And I remember feeling fucking horrible about, you know, I was like, fuck, well, and like in my head, it's like, and I don't know whether this is probably what makes me really good at what I am, but also makes me probably a bit of a martyr. I was like, well, fuck, well, I want you to have what I've got. I want you to feel the love that I'm receiving from, and I felt bad for receiving at the level that I did. And, you know, every year my mum baked a cake. There'd be presents for me when I woke up. There'd be, you know, however old I was, there'd be that many balloons on the fucking table. You know, it was a ceremony for her, and she would set the scene and make it sacred. And everything's just all of a sudden making sense right now around why birthdays mean a lot to her and why they are a celebration of creation, her creation. Yeah, I feel so much better right now.
Do you? Yeah. We were never meant to record the podcast last night, were we?
No. And yeah, I think I'm just having a real deep understanding of, yeah, the other, I've really felt, I've been struggling the last couple of weeks of like, what's not moving here? And it's been locked up in my chest. And yeah, I just feel a whole lot better around that. And yeah, I'm just realizing, oh yeah, when I receive on my birthday, I get terrified that other people aren't receiving as much as I am. And then I'm like, well, you deserve just as much as me. You deserve, I want it all to be equal. I want it, you know, I don't want to get too much and then have someone else feel like, go home and feel like, oh, I don't have as much, which is ironic because I never ever feel that way when someone else is getting a present. I feel like, I should be getting that. So, yeah, birthdays are big for me.
They are.
Mm. I don't know where I was going with that, but thank you for allowing it.
We went from plant medicine to that. I loved that.
Mm.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing. That was really beautiful to witness you.
Yeah.
And thanks everyone listening for being.
Thanks for being here.
For being here for the process.
Mm.
Can I circle back to what we were, well, it's the conversation you were just having as well, but expanding on like bringing the energy down from the mountain. And I think so often, and this was my path, is that when we get into whatever the fuck you want to call it, personal development, plant medicine, spirituality, whatever kind of space, we can suddenly make everyone outside of that space wrong. Like suddenly see life as like this hierarchy, like you don't know yet. You haven't stepped into this world yet. You're lesser than, you don't get it. We can start to make them wrong. And then we can also really begin to conditionally put a lot of conditions on the relationships we have and the love that we're giving. And again, I did this definitely. It was like, I want you to change and be more like me. I want you to be more spiritual. I want you to eat different food. I want you to do all these things and then I can love you. I used to do this with my mom so deeply as well. My mom specifically. But I think I also just used to look through that lens of life. It's like, oh, you haven't done the plant medicine ceremony. You haven't done this. You still don't eat organic. Like, and my relationship with my mom was challenging during that time. I remember just like you share, and I know from your experience with your mom too, like my mom would call me and I would see her name come up on my phone and I would literally get like repulsed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, ugh, like I don't want to fucking talk to her. And I used to get really triggered by, now I see the parts of her that are also in me.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to just like think she was all consuming and asked too many like questions and was too like, like just all these things.
Mm.
And yeah, there was like this repulsion that would come up in me. And I, in my head, I probably wasn't conscious about it at the time, but I had this story that I needed her to change and be less of who she was and less of all of these things. And then I could love her and have a good relationship with her. Mm. And I remember around this time, so this is probably like 5 years ago now, maybe even longer, or at least 5 years ago and before that, that you would sometimes tell me that I was like my mom, and it would feel like the biggest, what word am I looking for?
Trigger.
Trigger, but also like, what's the opposite of a compliment?
Oh, insult.
Yeah, it felt like the biggest insult ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It felt like the biggest insult for you to call me like my mom, especially the things that I was super triggered by her in.
Mm.
And a huge part of my journey with this was actually beginning to, and this is my whole journey of full spectrum woman, like actually to stop denying the parts of myself that I was seeing in her. And when I began to own the part of me that was a crazy motherfucking bitch, when I started to own the part of me that was like controlling, when I started to own the part of me that just like needed to know and was just like super intense, right? When I started to own all those parts of myself and be compassionate and loving to those parts of myself, suddenly my whole entire fucking relationship with my mom shifted. And I could, and this is making me emotional, I like no longer would she call and like I'd feel repulsed. I was like excited.
Mm.
Like the love that I like liberated for my mother. And she didn't fucking change. She didn't change at all. She didn't change. She's still crazy as fuck. But my perception of her changed. And I liberated her from the conditions that I was putting on her. And I just freed the love that I had.
Mm.
And that was like fucking everything. That was fucking everything.
Makes me think of Stephen Street.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. It was a really healing time in, oh gosh. This is one of the, we do one of these podcasts like at least once every few months where we don't talk about anal, we don't talk about sex, we just have a good cry.
Thank you for being our group therapist. This is it.
I'm sure there's some people here that like don't vibe these ones and other people that are like, this is my fucking favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was a time, it's probably 5 years ago.
Jeez, yeah.
See, maybe coming up to six, because I think it was 2018.
Yeah.
Or was it 2019?
I can't remember. It would have been 2018 because then 2019 was the next year, I think. As it goes. No, like, I'm just thinking about when we moved back to the Gold Coast.
Yeah. Okay. So it was either, yeah, it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. And Jacob and I had moved from the Gold Coast. We'd packed up all our things. But actually, we hadn't packed up all our things. We'd sold all our stuff. We were financially not very well off. We moved to Bali for a few months. And our plan was to travel. And then we had no money. So we came home and we lived with my parents for 4 months.
Mm.
And I had so much shame around that. Just where we were at financially. I know at the time we were working on my network marketing business, which we soon after finished, but there was a lot of shame for you in that and like where you were at in your life and work and all the things. And yeah, it just felt like a fucking failure. Like there was a lot of shame around failing and yeah, feeling like we weren't where we wanted to be. You were probably like, what would you have been? Like probably 30.
Yeah, I was not at all where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was living with my girlfriend's parents in Brisbane, no fucking job, no money coming in, trying to get my business off the ground. I'm pretty sure I had depression or some form of like, I was definitely down in the dumps. Yeah. Yeah. But that's not why we were there. I don't believe we were there to make, you know, we weren't there to go, you know, to be highly successful. We were there to like, almost like
heal.
Yeah.
So what went down in that time, my little sister moved home as well.
Yeah.
And so it was my little sister, Jacob and I, and my mom and dad in this house.
Mm.
And my mom and dad had also just sold our family home that I lived in for my entire life. And so they just sold that. We were living in this rental and they were, their other place was being built.
Yeah.
And so there was so much moving for them. And I look back at that and I'm like, thank fuck. Cause that time really transformed my relationship with my mom and my dad.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was, What do I want to say on that? There was conversations that were had that had never been spoken before, particularly with my mom. She'd shared things that she'd never shared with anyone before. And it was like, we needed to be in that space for the healing of us, but also the healing of my mother and the healing of our family.
Yeah. That makes me emotional. Like it wasn't a big house. They were all like on top of each other. Like you couldn't not deepen. We couldn't not deepen into conversations. And I believe like
we definitely could have, but that, I think that was our deepest practice of can you bring the motherfucking medicine down from the mountain into the marketplace? Mm. How are you when you're going through a really fucking rough patch and you're living in your mom and dad's house with your boyfriend and you're just like, things aren't going to plan, when people are probably looking at you like you failed, like who the fuck are you in those moments? How are you loving people? How are you showing up each day? Like that was life going, this is the fucking medicine journey.
Yes.
Don't go fucking drink another cup of ayahuasca. Sit here and be with this.
Mm.
And I'm so fucking proud of that medicine journey of 4 months.
Yeah. What I was saying is like, sometimes we can just go and see our parents once a month and sit down and have dinner, and the conversation can only really go as far as an hour will let you.
Yeah.
And, or, you know, there's different things going on, or the footy's on TV, or, you know, there's something else to talk about, or something new that's happening in the family, in the wider family that you talk about. You don't actually get that ongoing, like you say, like I say with the medicine, like it doesn't go anywhere. When you're in ceremony, it stays with you all the way until you meet your point of liberation. And same with that. We were in a house for 4 months. We couldn't go anywhere.
Mm.
We didn't have money to travel. We could fucking put enough fuel in the car to maybe get to fucking Gold Coast for a day, but we didn't have money to leave. We had to sit and be with what was there for ourselves. And in that, we then got to create a deeper relationship with your parents. And like that really solidified my relationship with them deeply. And like, it's what gave me the understanding and the deep respect that I have for both your parents.
Mm.
And like, yeah, my family is very fucking different and we both have beautiful aspects. But yeah, I used to be really triggered by how organized your family was. And then when I got to actually like experience what that organization afforded your family, and seeing how well you guys could go on holidays, how greatly everything, like it was like a well-oiled machine. I got to be like, fuck, there's value in this, in the way that these guys do it. And I'm really, you know, the fact that your dad's held it down and has been able to provide for fucking 3 daughters in a way that I'd never seen anyone do. I was like, fuck, this is cool. Like I'm learning to respect your father, but also like learn, like I'm learning to respect him for what he's done, but I'm also taking on things. I'm like, wow, like that's valuable. That's a valuable skill. I want to cultivate that in myself.
Sorry, I was looking at my phone just then. I just wanted to read what I put out that question box
for people
to write what they loved about you. And my mom wrote it on Instagram. She wrote, so I had the question box that said, what do you love about Jacob? Like, help me celebrate him. And my mom wrote, my mom doesn't even really know how to use Instagram. So I love that she did this. She wrote, the support he shows for family and close friends, always there for the humans he loves. I love that she said humans too, because we use that word.
Humans.
Humans. But no, I really agree with you in that, around that solidifying of the relationship with my parents. And I feel that is, and I'm not going to assume this, but I'm sure there's people listening to this, and maybe you're one of them listening, that you do desire, like family is important to you. Deepening your relationships with your family is important to you, your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers, your whatever it is, but you want to deepen. And if that is you, my invitation to you would be, let go of who you think they need to be for you to have the relationship with them. Obviously, this is nuanced. If they are abusive, if it isn't safe to be around them, all of those things, you know, boundaries are so welcome and important. But, you know, we're talking about this from a place of like, what cages are you holding in them that's actually preventing you from just experiencing the depth and love that you truly desire? And the relationship we have with our families, like you with my family, me with my family, you with your family, me, I'm so proud of the relationships I have with, it's going to make me emotional again. Like, I'm so proud of the relationship I have with like your dad and like, your mom and like your sisters and even like your brother-in-law and like, it just, I'm so beyond what we fucking even created here in the podcast, in our business, no matter how much money I make, that will always be what I am most proud of. My relationship with you and family. And I think if we again circle it back, it's like, that's the work, like your work, go have the plant medicine journeys, go do the psychedelics if you feel the call, but then bring that back to life. Like you become the transmission, and can you offer yourself as the transmission to your family instead of taking a different path, which many of you are doing. If you're listening to this, you're most likely like, some people would call it the rainbow sheep of your family. You're probably the weirdo. You're probably the one at Christmas that people are like, what is he or she doing now? Like, what are they? They don't really understand you. Like, if that's you, can you actually not create deeper separation of like, I'm different. I'm not like them. You know, I'm breaking the chains, and which is powerful. You are. Yeah. But also, can you actually be the medicine for your family and not from this egoic kind of like, I'm different from you and I'm better and I'm healing us all, but just from this, like, can you share your appreciation with your mom when she celebrates you on your birthday? Can you sit and look your dad in the eyes and tell him you love him? Like, can you lean into the discomfort of changing your relationships? Like, for me, this was huge. And I actually remember the very moment that this happened. It was probably 3 years ago now. And I'd really deepened with my mom, and I wanted to deepen with my dad. And that's still a relationship. I have a great relationship with my dad, but it's still one that I'm like, hey, I want to call him more. And I want to just like connect in more deeply. Like, that's, yeah. And I remember just like feeling this yearning a few years ago of like, oh, I want to feel really seen by him, and I don't feel seen by him. And like, in the way that, you know, like, I don't think he gets what I do, and I don't think he's like, yeah. And then I realized like, oh, like, can I be the one to lean into that? Can I actually like excitably, instead of waiting for him to be the one that goes, I'm proud of you, can I actually be vulnerable first? Can I actually be vulnerable and, you know, share, and then let be the doorway for his vulnerability too? And it was so fucking beautiful. I remember being so nervous to share my excitement around something. And yeah, it was so beautiful. And even a conversation that I had to have with my dad earlier, or maybe this time last year, which I felt like throwing up having to have a particular conversation with my dad asking for something. And I thought he was going to like berate me and treat me like a naughty little girl. And it was the most healing thing for me. Like, he just like was so proud of me and like, yeah, just spoke to me all the things that like, I think my inner child, like as a kid, wanted to hear and didn't. And he like, I got that as an adult, and I didn't go into that conversation knowing that that was going to happen. But it did, and it was so beautiful. And again, it's like, if you desire deepening with anyone, but let's specifically talk family, it's so easy to be like, they're my parents, they should do this first, they should be vulnerable first, they wouldn't be able to handle my vulnerability, they wouldn't be it, they wouldn't get it. Well, just fucking try. Like, can you, if it makes you giddy and feels like you're going to throw up, do it. Like, that's your leadership. That's how you heal your family. That's how you bring the medicine off the mountain. You lean into those really like scary, oh my God, am I going to be rejected? What are they going to think of me? Like, can I tell this man I love him when we don't really say that? Like, you've done that with your dad. Do you want to talk about that? We're just like wailing.
Yeah. How are we going for time?
Yeah, we're at 49 minutes. We're going to go soon, guys. Hold it. Well, actually, by the time this podcast would have come out, we would have gotten our new place. Where, yeah, it's 10 past one right now, timing-wise.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for sharing all that, my love. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I think this is, like, this, whilst we're also going through a deep healing process in sharing about our relationships with our family, I think this is a real good indicator for what's possible when you do bring the medicine down off the mountain, or when you do go and do your breathwork journey, or you start going to sound healings, or you're doing all this new stuff. It's like that is there to prepare you for the actual initiation, which is to open your heart and expose yourself to those that you actually want to have a deeper relationship with.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's been my, you know, I think back to like, I went to shout out. We're going to be chatting to Blaze. He's going to be one of the guests. He's a he was one of my first men's coaches, and he's someone that I look up to and I deeply respect. I went along to his men's retreat up on the sunny coast, a 3-day one, and I remember like going through the most painful initiation around my anger towards my mother, and that wasn't even the initiation. That was me clearing out my vessel so I could go into the conversation with my mom without blaming her and opening my heart to her.
Yeah.
And I remember coming home and a couple of weeks later I said, I'm ready to have a call with you. And I called her and I just opened my heart and just shared the like all of my deep grief and pain and sorrow and everything that was moving through me from just such a beautiful place. And it was so cathartic and so deeply healing. And I'm like, oh, that retreat prepared me for the initiation.
Mm-hmm.
Like the initiation was the preparation for the real life thing. And
yeah. And you can't, I just want to jump in here. You can't bypass what life is asking of you in a plant medicine ceremony.
Yes.
Plant medicine might prepare you. There's some things that can be felt and liberated in a plant medicine ceremony that might not necessarily have to be in life. But if there is a motherfucking conversation you need to have with your father, with your mother, with your partner, with your, you know, boss, with yourself, or like if there is action, if there is a conversation that life is deeply inviting you into, you cannot, no matter how many cups of ayahuasca you have, life is going to continue to ask you to have that conversation. You can't bypass that.
Correct. Aho. And that was like, that for me was like the first real experience of like one of the ones that I was conscious of. I was like, oh, wow, this is me doing the work and then applying the work to real life.
Yeah.
So, you know, so many people are like, well, why is it called work? Because it fucking's hard. You do the work and then you apply it to your real life, you know, and this is where, one of my teachers, he goes, you know, life is ceremony and ceremony is life. Mm. This is just a little reminder when we come out of a deep, deep night working with the medicines. And it's like, ah, this is just a little reminder of what's possible when I see life as ceremony, when I apply this work to real life situations. And yeah, like that's afforded me, you know, and one of the things that a lot of men, got to witness it at the Gathering of Men was like my father being there and me getting to like be seen by him, you know, and it's like that was huge. That was massive. And that's been years in the making. Totally. That has been years in the making. And I think a lot of people will, you know, a lot of people got to look at the back end of my business and see how, you know, what the numbers look like. It probably wouldn't look like the most successful business. Well, I know it wouldn't. And that's not to say that I'm not doing well, because I am, but it's, you know, I definitely could have capitalized more financially, but I'm not going to bypass or chase a dollar when what I truly deeply desire is these healing moments that allow me to have the experiences that I will carry with me for the rest of my life.
And I think that's where this is something that is important to us. And there's been moments, I think probably more for me than you, where I've like chased money in my business and had that as been really connected or reliant on that metric of success.
Yeah.
But probably in the last year, I think for both of us, like, yes, we do financially thrive in our businesses, but we want to scale and expand into that.
Yeah.
But that is not the only metric of success for us. It is, no. I would never sacrifice any part of our relationship to expand and succeed.
No.
And growing our relationships with our, you know, our community, the people in our, you know, inner circle, our, you know, family, like that, that is so important to us. And that's such an important metric of the work, I feel.
And this might seem a little silly, but like there's been so many moments in the past, I'd say year and a half with family, that I've just looked at you playing with your sisters, like your our nephews, on the beach just over Christmas, and I watched you and I was just like, this is enough.
Yeah.
This is a moment. Like, I'm fucking God's here right now. I can feel the divine. I can feel great spirit. I feel like, holy fuck, we're here.
Yeah.
We're doing it. There's been times, you know, when we went down and we were at Shoal Bay with my family for that weekend, we were dancing. I was like,
oh my God, dancing on that. Yeah. Like, and I'm like, country town dance floor.
You know, God's here. Mm-hmm. Like, God's arrived. This is fucking, this is ceremony. This is a moment of like pure joy. And there's been more of those moments than I can count the last 18 months with friends, with family, and the people that will, in general, the people that we love. And that's because we've been able to apply the work to real life. And that's been beautiful. You know, we had our, you know, we had our wedding, and that was such a beautiful, you know, I just got off the phone to my one of my best mates, Jay Rosier, shout out to Jay. And we were just, he's like, man, that wedding. He's like, that was one of the best weekends of my life, you know? And
my mom was, my mom was telling me she caught up with all her friends the other day, and one of the women was a friend of a friend. So she wasn't at the wedding, and the, all mom's friends were like, best wedding we've ever been to. Nothing will ever top that. And I was like, that's that, like, we had the most phenomenal time, but the fact that that was a transformational experience for so many humans that we loved as well. And I think this is our medicine, and this is something that we have done very fucking well for years. And what we've been devoted to is, and is why we have such deep relationships with the humans around us now, despite, you know, years of feeling disconnected and feeling not seen and all of these things, is that we're unapologetically devoted to being ourselves, and we don't change ourselves when we come into our family. We don't dilute, you know, we're not going and probably talking about all our opinions all the time, because I think that's another thing too.
It is.
Say that you had a particular opinion about the vaccine. Like, you don't, some people would then want to go bah on their family to be like, you should do this, or you, or maybe it's eating organic food and like shaming their family for eating organic food or still putting perfume on. And it's like, I don't do, I let go. I will never, ever, ever, ever tell anyone in my family what the fuck to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I jokingly do it with your dad around sugar. I think I did it a few times at home, but
it's hilarious though, because,
but your dad didn't give a fuck. I only do that to him because he does not give a fuck.
That's banter. I think that's,
it's more banter.
Yeah.
So I think that's another thing. We don't make someone feel not enough for their current lifestyle. We make people feel safe, because it's not like, oh, just because I don't eat gluten or just because I don't drink a lot of alcohol, it's still safe to be around me. I'm not going to shame you because you have a few drinks. I'm not going to shame you for X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's a huge part of we even our wedding, like, people, we had such a, we, everyone was in a circle for our wedding, and we had a despacho and a fire in the center, and like all of these things that people, and we had people rubbing their hands together and praying over us. And majority of the people, apart from our friends, majority of the people at our wedding, like, you know, our family and
they had no idea what family was really friends,
they didn't know. But so many came up afterwards being like, oh, that was so powerful, and I loved the hands thing, and I loved doing that. Oh my gosh, that was, I've never felt so much love. Even mum's friend, my Les and Leanne, Les said something about he'd never felt so much love in his life. This is like a 65-year-old man who spent his working life as like a tradesman. So fucking magical.
You hit the nail on the head, and I think this is kind of the summation. Is that the right word?
I think you got it.
I nailed it. Using a word that I've never used before. Take risks, people. The summation of what we're speaking about is be yourself around those that you know, you want a deeper connection with, but don't project your beliefs or your opinions onto them in doing so. Be yourself, but don't project how you think other people should be just so they're more like you.
Yeah.
And this, you know, I was down with my grand, I went to, dropped you off to our friend Kristen's for her birthday was earlier this week or over the weekend. And I went and crashed down with my granny and pappy. And I got there, and when I get there, I just say, listen, all of my rules that I have at home no longer exist. There's no rules. So
we eat like fully organic here.
Yeah. I'm like very,
the complete opposite of granny's house.
I prioritize organic whole foods when I'm in my home and when I'm mostly out and about. Yeah. But when I go to my grandparents, I just take I throw away the rule book. And I just say, listen,
receive. Whatever's in this house, whatever you're offered, like, just receive it. You don't need to, like, let them love you. And I think that's my whole fucking theme right now. It's like, let people love me.
That should be that should be your blueprint for receivership.
Yeah.
Let people love you like your granny giving you food at her house.
I've just got to pretend that it's
like, more? Eat the rest of this. Eat the rest of this. And you're like, okay.
I went over and she pulls out this fucking Teflon pan and I'm like, ugh. She's like, this is a good pan. I feel her. And she's like, and I'm like, oh, this to her is good. Like, okay. Like, if I believe in intention and belief, you know, if I'm truly like a spiritual being, then like, this is good according to her. Then I must trust. Like, can you trust that this is good? Okay. But fuck the science. You're in your grandparents' house. She wants to give to you. Let her love you. And boom, brings out the can. Canola spray, canola oil. And I'm just like, all right, we're doing canola oil. Yeah. It's good in a can, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, it's good, Gren. Wax a steak, you know, wrapped in fucking plastic. And I'm just like, boom. And then she's like, you want some of this? Want some of that? I'm like, just give it to me, Gren. What do you got? And all of the brands she pulls out, nothing I would ever buy.
Yeah.
But she fed me. I had a couple of beers. I ate a couple of drumsticks after for dessert.
A couple.
Because I had one and she said, go back and have another one if you want. And I said, oh, fuck it. And then at quarter to 12, she's like, do you want a cup of tea? And we're watching the tennis. And I never watched the tennis. But I'm sitting there in fucking tears of laughter with my granny just commentating on this tennis match that she doesn't even know how to say Rafael Nadal's name properly, and she's trying to say it, and she's, I wish you wouldn't wear that shirt. I don't like that color. And I'm like, this is one of the greatest tennis players. These guys are like hot elite athletes, and she's worried about the color of his shirt. And we're laughing and having conversations. And then, you know, I go and put the jug on. She's like, I think I might have a coffee. And I was like, fucking yes. I'm in right now. I'm like, I'm having a coffee with you. Fuck it. So we have black coffee
at midnight
and fruitcake at midnight. But what I want people to understand is like, when you fully give yourself to an experience and you take off all the rules and like, oh, I can't have canola, pray God, there's, you know, she's got fucking, she gave me some fucking I found hand sanitizer in my car that she'd put in there. She's like, I'll give you some of these. I've got like a whole pack of these hands. But what that afforded me, when we sat down, we started drinking a black coffee and eating fruitcake at midnight. We started talking about Christmas and how she was really happy with how everything went for her. She's like, oh, I felt really connected to your family and had a really good time with your mom, had a really good time with your dad. And it was just so good to, you know, and she's like, I was really, really happy that I got to connect with everyone. And she got to share and we spoke a little bit about life. And would I have gotten to that point if I hadn't have let go of all the rules?
Yeah.
Would she have bought
your own steak and your own olive oil and your own things? No.
Would she have felt as open to connecting with me if I had have brought all of my conditions and rules into her place?
Yes.
Could I have just trusted her container? Because, like, I did bring the thing, you know, I took it down because I know she loves sourdough. So I took it down a loaf of sourdough and I took a couple of rissoles as well. And, you know, I left them there and she, you know, we had toast the next morning. She's like, I love this sourdough. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I got to bring an offering, but I didn't come in and sabotage her sanctuary. You know, this is her place. I'm coming in and receiving from her. So could that conversation at midnight having a, you know, black coffee and fruitcake happened if I had have come in and enforced my rule and my will upon a space that didn't need it? And this is part of letting go that I believe is important with family and allows you to have these deep moments that you'll carry with you when, you know, your grandparents aren't going to be here forever. You know, your parents aren't going to be here for fucking ever.
Yeah.
So can you actually let go and exist in it, knowing that when you go home, you can have your fucking organic grass-fed butter.
Yeah.
You can have your fucking steak.
A coffee enema, go get a colonic, jump in the sauna, just detox it, guys.
Yeah. And I think that's this is very much about swings and roundabouts and just learning to move with life rather than force yourself upon it.
And I think also for many of the women I work with, there is a people pleasing aspect as well. So actually, potentially your invitation is to actually stand up for what you believe in and to actually own that. Oh, I'm always saying yes to things that aren't actually my truth. So maybe that's actually your edge in and around family, but where we're really just speaking to that like big pendulum swing of when you change your life and then suddenly, like you said, you're projecting that and looking at every family member through that lens and trying to make them change. And I suddenly know the way and the truth and you need to know it. Like, no one fucking likes that. No one ever fucking changed. No, I'll just say it. I don't think anyone ever fucking changed a family member through coercion.
No.
Or maybe they did, but like not, they didn't deepen their relationship for the better.
Yeah.
If you want deep relationships. And the thing was, let's just finish with this. That time we spent at Stephen Street when we lived with my parents, that ended with my mum coming to a weekend medicine journey with us.
Oh.
And if you would have told me that even a month before she decided to come, I would have said, no way in fucking hell. No way is my mom ever going to choose that. My mom is never like, she's never, I've always been open that we've done that, but she's never like shown an interest. She's never really got it. She's just kind of been like, oh, okay, you go to Peru and you drink something and not okay. But she came and did a weekend medicine journey, had one of the most transformational experiences, well, the most transformational experiences of her life, told all her 6-year-old friends, and then they all wanted to come. And like, that wasn't through me going and being like, you all need to do plant medicine. Mm. That was just me being the fucking medicine, me being the transmission. Mom heard someone talking about mushrooms on a radio station, and then she goes, oh, is that like what you do? And tell me more. And there was she felt safe to lean in and she got to choose it. So don't try and coerce or project or force anyone to believe what you believe. Like that just doesn't feel good to be on the receiving end. Just be fucking you. Be fucking you.
Mm. Bring the medicine down off the mountain and become it.
Mm.
Yeah. And offer yourself vulnerably to those that you love and allow that to be enough.
Okay, we got to roll.
Alrighty. This has been like probably, I say this every time we had one of these podcasts, but this is not at all what we were going to talk about. I wanted to talk about my birthday and what we're, you know, recap of 2023, but this has been the most perfect podcast and this I'm so grateful.
Probably been one of my favorite podcasts ever. Like I love you. I feel really
connected to you right now.
I feel so connected and gooey and just like my heart's so open and just, I feel so so present and blissful and relaxed, and I adore you.
It gets to be this good.
Aho. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Big love.
Bye.
Peace.
Yo, yo, yo. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. Now, if you'd like to stay connected with Meg and I, you can head on over to Instagram and follow me at @TheJacobO'Neill. And where can people find you, lover?
At @the.meg.o.
Amazing. And yeah, guys, check out the show notes for all other information in regards to what we've got coming up. And yeah, we're super, super grateful that you guys have taken the time to listen in to this podcast. If you do have any topics or any questions, like I said, hit us up on Instagram and we'll see what we can do. Apart from that, have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day.
Thanks for being here.
Big, big love.